Love All by Elizabeth Jane Howard. Read by Joanna Lumley. Percy. He looked at what he could see of her face, half turned away from him, but unmistakably downcast, and tried another tack. It isn't that I don't love you, it's all the other things. Unfortunately, they change. There was a short silence, after which she muttered reluctantly, How do you mean exactly? Don't sulk, Percy. This isn't easy for me, you know. She did look at him then, and he wished that she hadn't. The children, he began, are growing up. They're beginning to notice I'm hardly ever at home. They need a stable, affectionate family life. They need both parents. He elaborated at length on this and felt better. So you're not going on your location hunt. You're going to stay at home and sail boats on the round pond and take them to the zoo, things like that. I have to go to Los Angeles. That was scheduled months ago. I told you. I see. You do begin to, don't you, Perse? You do realise it has nothing to do with what I feel for you? Yes. At last I do. We fancied each other for a while and now you've changed your mind. That's all. It's not your fault. I was pretending as much as you were. His eyes flickered, but he said breezily, What on earth do you mean, pretending? That we loved each other. She decided it would be safe now to light a cigarette without her hands trembling too noticeably. But, darling, we do love each other. Well, I do. I was just trying to explain why one can't always have what one wants. However hard it may be, I haven't missed the point. Love doesn't come into it. I mean, if you really loved somebody... He got up from the table. I'm sorry, I'm not up to your notions of love. He said it in the tone men employed when they told her how afraid they were that they hadn't got time for reading novels. Poor you. She watched his look of startled exasperation. Unexpected pain rose in her gorge, and she swallowed it. He was holding out his hand to her. Darling, don't let's spoil our last weekend together. We've got the whole of today and tonight. Lynn is staying with her mother for Sunday lunch, so we've got until about 4 tomorrow. He was offering her a special treat. She'd fallen for these spasmodic goodies for nearly 2 years now. On her feet, she looked at him directly as she said, I'm sorry, I'm not up to your notions of lust. And then, to be fair, she added, Poor me. And that was it. She'd collected her things and left. She'd walked to the 74 bus stop on Old Brompton Road. It was one of those colourless, windless days people pretended was the beginning of spring. The bus was almost empty, and she found a seat at the front. Here, with warm tears sliding down her cold face, she went over the whole scene again. From the moment they'd met, as usual at Earl's Court Station, she'd sensed something was wrong. Usually he'd give her a meaningful kiss on the cheek and take her hand, leading her through the streets to the flat that was lent to him by a friend for these occasions. Today, instead, he presented her with a bunch of pink and white striped tulips. She had started to thank him, but he was already striding ahead. They stopped at the patisserie for croissant and coffee. They always began their weekends with breakfast. She asked how his week had been, and he'd replied, Awful. Just utterly frustrating and awful. He didn't ask about hers. She'd told him about giving in her notice. Why did you do that? I just got rather sick of it. It wasn't leading to anything. Even then, she'd not been honest. So what will you do? Get a job with another publisher? She'd taken the plunge. Well, I thought I might take a holiday first. I thought perhaps I might go out to Los Angeles with you. I mean, nobody need know. And that was when he told her. He simply couldn't go on. It was tearing him to pieces, sapping his energy, making Lynn unhappy, and was just the wrong thing to do. He was unable to concentrate on his work, and he felt terribly guilty. Altogether, it was time to make a break. There'd been a silence during which she could neither speak nor look at him. Then he started that awful rubbish about loving and went on to even worse stuff about stable, affectionate family life, exposing all the romance, the secrecy, the excitement to such a harsh light their affair became pallid. He just wanted a bit on the side. Love had never had anything to do with it. She tried to envisage a stable, affectionate family life.